This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Hayyakumullah ya mashayikh, jazakumullahu khayran. Biiznillahi ta'ala, we will have a quick 25 to 30 minute session, insha'Allah, dealing with 10 matters related to inheritance. The topic, last minute topic that they put together and they sent around word with regards to it, was inheritance nightmares. Inheritance nightmares. For verily, when it comes to many of the matters of inheritance, we do have nightmares. Jayid, how many a family has broken down due to matters of inheritance? How many a family, father or mother has just passed away and the kids are already fighting over their estate? How many a family, father has not closed his eyes as yet. He's still alive, but while he's been alive, he decided that he wanted to sort out much of his assets. And he gave to this one, did not give to this one. Gave a certain amount to that one, gave a less amount to another. For the reasons that he saw was valid, and the kids did not see it like that. How many a family that these two sons were part and parcel with the father in the business. The other son, he was maybe a doctor, he was maybe an engineer. He went and did something else. At the time of inheritance distribution, he comes forward expecting his equal share, like the other two brothers who were in the business. And while they were in the business, these matters were not made clear. These matters were not set out properly. Does he have a right to demand, to ask for a set share just like his brothers, for an equal share like his brothers? And how much of strife then builds up from this? How many cousins do not speak to one another? Why? Because the siblings above are fighting with one another. How many a father has not spoken to his son for years due to matters like this? I know a brother in South Africa, about 10 siblings. This brother, in reality, he is living the life of like somebody in Jahannam. For example, in the month of Ramadan, he was in i'tikaf, in the masjid, in the middle of his i'tikaf, walhamdulillah. But because there's this inheritance matter that has not been sorted out now for the past 5-6 years, father passed away, left behind a few millions, and the son's siblings have broken up into two groups. One of the groups has a judge on that group, and so obviously he has a bit more power. And so this guy, from his i'tikaf, middle of the masjid, in that Ramadan, the police come to the masjid and they take him out and they put him in the cell for one night or two nights. Why? Because one issue, a second issue, 5-10 issues, many other matters come up after all of that, and that family is completely at strife, completely broken up, subhanallah. Allahumma ista'an. Why? وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Because we will love wealth, a great loving for wealth. Yes or no? Yes, mashallah. Jayid, that's our nature. You give the kid this toy, you have to teach the kid, caring is sharing in the morning, caring is sharing after dhuhr, caring is sharing after asr. Why? By his nature, it's mine. By its nature, it's mine. I want it. I only want it for myself. In fact, there's two toys, he wants both for himself. Yes or no? Yes, subhanAllah. And that's why we are rewarded such a great reward when you give charity. Why? Because you are going against that nafs. The nafs says, no, keep it for yourself, keep it for a rainy day. But you go against that nafs and you take it out and you spend. Why is sadaqah called sadaqah? Anyone? Why is sadaqah called sadaqah?
Truthful.
Truthful about what?
About the belief in the Creator.
Excellent. Just why, when it comes to marriage, you also call the mahar, in Arabic, call it sadaq. It's showing that I am serious about getting married to you, O woman. I'm serious about getting married to you, O Amina. That I'm willing to put down that which I love, my money, whatever amount it might be. I'm willing to put it down as an offer in marriage to you, to give this to you in exchange for this, in exchange for your acceptance in this marriage. And sadaqah, also called sadaqah. Why? Because it shows that you believe in the truthfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you're going to give, He's going to give in reward. You're not going to see it. All you see, bank deposit, money is gone out. You physically see money is left. But subhanAllah, you have that belief, you have that sit and that tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you give, you will get more. And how ironic, zakah, one of the meanings of zakah is what? Now we pay zakah. One of the meanings of zakah is what? Besides purification, etc., etc., it means increase. And one of the meanings of zakah is increase, subhanAllah. We say, Rabbi zidni ilma, jayid. And the other verse of the Noble Quran misses me now. Point is that zakah also means increase. So brothers and sisters, because it comes to this matter of money, we will fight, we will die, we will kill over it. You find, for example, when it comes to salah, in the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Aqimis salah. When it comes to purification, Allah mentions a few matters with regards to purification. When it comes to other matters, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, pay your zakah. But the finer details are not there in the Noble Quran. How much, when, what's the ratio, etc., etc. Two sajdas, two rukus, etc. Not there in the Noble Quran. How many rak'ahs for Salatul Fajr, Zuhr, etc. Not there. Begin with Allahu Akbar, etc. Finish with Taslim. Not there in the Noble Quran. But Allah sufficed with that pillar of Islam. Allah sufficed with what? Perform your salah. Establish your prayer. Allah sufficed with give your zakah. But when it came to the matter of inheritance, which surah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the detailed matters with regards to inheritance. Which surah? Surah An-Nisa. Jayid. That in and of itself was something groundbreaking for that super conservative society in Arabia, where people would bury their daughters alive. Why? Oh, it's a daughter. Firstborn is a daughter. Not good. Bury her alive, etc. Get rid of her. SubhanAllah. What did we have? We had that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that society sends down the laws of inheritance and sends it down in the surah dealing with the women. A society that women were inherited. Forget about them inheriting. They were inherited. Your father's brother passes away. He leaves behind this wife. Father's brother goes along and he takes her. Or this uncle takes her. Or somebody else takes her, etc., etc. She is inherited. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Noble Quran sets out the laws of inheritance. Jayid. In Surah An-Nisa dealing with the matters of women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set it out clearly with regards to inheritance. Why? Because salah, the guy is not praying. InshaAllah, Allah will grant him hidayah. InshaAllah this, InshaAllah that, mashaAllah. The guy is not gone for Hajj now for the past 50 years, etc. InshaAllah, one day he'll go. The guy lies, the guy's a thief, etc. InshaAllah, dua, barakah, something will happen. But when it comes to the matters of inheritance, and somebody does you down, oh, we're going to bring down the roof. Yes or no? We will fight, we will die, we will, you know, go to the highest court of the land when it comes to money. We'll fight over that. As for the man's not praying, inshallah, khair, barakah, we'll make dua for him. The proposal, this, that, whatever, inshallah, Allah will grant hidayah, etc. Side note, somebody sent me a message the other day. They said that there was this rich guy, proposed to this female, but he had no deen in him. No deen in him. And so they said, ala kulli hal, you know, we make dua, you know, Allah will grant hidayah. Allah is the one who grants hidayah, etc. And so they were super ready to accept the proposal. But when the guy whose pockets were not so full, he proposed, and his deen, mashaAllah, was a practicing Muslim, they said, ala kulli hal, khair and barakah, but, I mean, you know, times are tough, and this guy doesn't have anything. So the scholar says, why here did they not say that Allah is ar-Raziq? And Allah will give. But when it came to the guy who's got no deen, Allah is the one who grants hidayah. And Allah will give hidayah, mashaAllah. Huh? SubhanAllah. We forget that the one who grants hidayah is also the ar-raziq. Is also the one who? Also the one who provides. Back to our mas'ala. And that was, Allah knows us. Allah is our khaliq. We are makhluk. Allah knows who He created. And He knows over salah and zakah and hajj, etc. We're not really going to fight over that. But somebody does you down with regards to your share in inheritance, oh, the roof's going to come down. And that's why And this is our first point, inshallah. And that's why the Hanafi, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbali, Shia, Wahhabi, whoever else you want to add to the mix there, they have very, very little difference of opinion when it comes to the matters of inheritance. You're not going to find the Shafi'i saying, MashaAllah, O wife, you're going to get half your husband's estate. And you're not going to find the Hanafi saying in the same situation, O wife, you're only going to get a quarter. Because what's going to happen? All of our Hanafi sisters are going to say, you know, ala kulli hal, you know, I really studied this mas'ala, and you know, I'm really convinced that the Shafi'i opinion is, you know, the stronger opinion, and you know, I think in this mas'ala, it's not, you know, it's not that I just want extra inheritance, no, but rather as our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, we should obey him. At the end of the day, we will be questioned with regards to whether we listen to him, listen to the noble Quran, and so I really believe that the stronger opinion is with Imam al-Shafi'i, Najm al-Sunnah, the star, etc. And so I'm going to follow the Shafi'i madhab in this matter. We have jumping, hopping, skipping left, right and center, right? Because it's money. Because it's money, subhanAllah. Allahu musta'an. Jayid. So ala kulli hal ya mashayikh. Bismillah ta'ala, we will try to touch upon 10 points with regards to inheritance. It's called ilmul fara'id. Ilmul fara'id, from the word fard. Fard means something which is set, something which is set in stone. Ilmul fara'id, it's not up to myself and yourself and your mind and my mind, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out these details in the noble Quran. Unlike the setting out with regards to salah and zakah, etc., Allah said, perform your salah, pay your zakah. But when it came to money, He set it out super clearly. In the noble Quran, point number one, we find about 35 verses dealing with wasiyyah. We'll talk later about what exactly is wasiyyah. You and I, we only have a right over one third of our estate. Salim, he amassed 750,000 in property, in money, in all of this here throughout his entire life. $750,000. That's what he owns. Walhamdulillah. Jayid, that's what he owns. At the time of his death or before that, he wants to, my son, you take this, my son, you take that, I want to give you, etc., etc. You will get this after I die. This is for you when I'm dead. This is for you when I'm dead. Brother Ahmed, the neighbor, you will get this when I'm dead, etc. Jayid, wasiyyah, that which comes into effect in his will, he states, comes into effect.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
After his death. In reality,
subhanAllah,
is one third of his estate. Only one third of his estate. So $750,000, he only has a right over $250,000. $250,000, he can do with it as he pleases, with two conditions attached, which we will discuss later on, inshallah. Point is, Allah said in the noble Quran at the beginning, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend of what we gave them. Allah didn't say, and they spend of their money. Allah's talking about the believers. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, etc., etc. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend of what we gave them. Allah didn't say, and they spend of their money, and they spend of their hard-earned cash, etc. We are only here to use it for a period of time. And then we're going to leave it behind and somebody else is going to use it. And a sign with regards to that is that you amassed all of this, but subhanAllah, you cannot even do with it as you 100% want to do. You only can do with it as you want, up to one third of the estate. And even that one third is subject to two conditions, as we will see, inshallah. So there's about 35 verses dealing with this wasiyyah matter. And there are only three verses in the noble Quran dealing with the details of inheritance. If there are kids involved, then the spouses get such and such. If there's no kids involved, the spouses get such and such. The mother, she gets such and such. If the siblings involved, they will affect the mother and she will get less. The father, his share. The females of the family, their share. If there's one daughter, what will she get? If there's a grouping of daughters, what will they get, etc. All of this here set out quite clear in the noble Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, walhamdulillah. So only three verses dealing with the details of inheritance. And then a few ahadith on the topic. And from that, the scholars have extracted volumes dealing with the rules and regulations of inheritance. Walhamdulillah. In fact, in most institutes, be it a Darul Uloom, be it a Jami'ah, etc., although inheritance is part and parcel of the larger corpus of fiqh, but usually it's studied as a standalone subject. So you will have fiqh where you do your tahara, salah, zakah, siyam, hajj, qada, and all of those matters and jinayat. But inheritance is done as a separate standalone subject. Walhamdulillah. Then the wisdoms of inheritance. Point number two. What's a wisdom in there being inheritance? Your father passes away, he leaves you money. You die, your kids inherit from you. Any wisdom to that? As opposed to maybe, you know, we're living in some communist society. When you die, all the money goes to the state. Any benefit in there being inheritance? As opposed to the state taking it all? As opposed to, for example, you know, it goes to the municipality or the government or something like that? What's the benefit in you getting inheritance? Doctor? Support for the family, okay, excellent. The fact that you know that they are going to get it is going to make you protect it, is going to make you look after that wealth. If you know that when you die, all the money is going to go to the state, what's the point me bothering? What's the point me looking after it? What's the point me investing it, etc.? It's not going to go to my son Ahmed. It's not going to go to Sumayya. State is going to take it. Rather, I spend it while I'm alive, it's better. Excellent. So support them, etc. Yalla, that's the one. Number two, increases love and affection. If your father leaves you $1 million, how much of dua are you going to make for him? MashaAllah, you make one hajj, two hajj, umrah, mashaAllah. You'll never forget that father, yes or no? وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth, the great loving of wealth. Why did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said tahadu tahabu, that give people gifts so it will cause love between you? Because gifts have a way to the heart. Some uncle, you know, your father's cousin's uncle or something like this, you met him a few times, he liked you. You were not expecting anything at all from his estate. But he set it out there that when I die, my cousin's uncle's son there, he should get $50,000. Small amount, $50,000. Oh, subhanAllah, you were not expecting it. And they phone you up, the lawyer, and he says, you know what, this man left you $50,000. SubhanAllah. The same day, you are going to the graveyard and you're standing there over his grave and you're making dua. Yes or no? Last time you went was only for his janazah salah, which you almost missed. You almost missed that janazah salah. But now when you got the news about the 50, oh, you're there at the masjid, mashallah, you pour some water over the grave there, alhamdulillah, lift up your hands. Yes, and that's part and parcel. It increases love. I mean, I can tell you, if you leave me 50,000, I'm going to make dua for you. Jaheed, as they say, where there's a will, I want to be in it. Jaheed, where there's a will, I want to be in it. Don't you, Sheikh? You want to be in it? You all want to be in it. Excellent. Khair, inshallah. Also, the Islamic law of succession, distribution of the wealth. All the wealth is not given to one individual. You know that with Western law, you can give it to the dog. And the money literally has gone to the dog. Jayid, you have dogs who are millionaires, mashallah. He purposefully did not give his three sons. And the dog was with him for the past 10 years. He loved the dog. All the money, and especially to show the sons, he willed everything to go to the dog or to the cat or something like that. SubhanAllah. Whereas in Islam, whether you want to give the dog, you don't want to give the dog, the inheritance will go to those who have been designated as per the Quran. You can write it in stone, you can frame it, whatever. As per Islamic law, it will go to your heirs. You cannot disinherit any of your heirs. Oh, the son here, he got married to that girl there. I didn't like her. I told him not to marry her. Khalas, you're no longer my son. I did not talk to you. I disinherited you. No such thing. He's your flesh and blood. He will inherit from you, whether you like it, whether you don't. The only way he will be barred from inheritance is if he himself disinherited himself. For example, he left the fold of Islam. Left the fold of Islam, then he will not inherit. But otherwise, you cannot disinherit him. Jayid. And so, subhanAllah, the fact that you know your family is going to get it, the fact that it doesn't go to just one individual, it will go to all of those people. Maybe one son's not good in business, and the other son, he'll do something. So there's more spreading of that wealth. Your daughters, they might take it and keep it and, you know, buy some jewelry or something. But the sons are getting a larger share. They're going to use it in business. The money is going to spread around in society, as opposed to it all going to one individual. Maybe he uses, maybe he does not. Jayid. So that's point number two, I think it is. Jayid. Point number one was with regards to the verses of the Noble Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala setting out the laws and regulations with regards to inheritance as opposed to salah, zakah, etc. Point number one. Point number two, the wisdoms of inheritance, increase love and mahabba between the people, increase economic productivity, the fact that you know it's going to your family members, going to look after it. Point number three, is inheritance unfair? When it comes to the brother and the sister, when it comes to the son and the daughter, we all know, لِلذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, for the male is twice the share of the female. Jayid, when it comes to son and daughter, it's wrong to say that in inheritance, males get double the share of females. No, there are certain scenarios where males get the same as the female. But when it comes to son and daughter, here the son gets double the share of that daughter. If she's getting 1 million, he's getting 2 million. So is this unfair? So you're talking to Janet, or you're talking to Jack. Jack says, you know, this is unfair. What would you say to him? What would you say to him? How would you convince him that, no, there's wisdom behind this and it makes sense? What would you say to him? I mean, forget Jack and Samantha. You have Muslims who say this. Jayid, what would you say to them?
The male has to spend on the money to maintain the woman.
Jayid. So he has to maintain who? He's got responsibilities. He has to build a home. When he wants to get married, he has to pay the mahar. Jayid. Didn't work out, he has to pay mahar again. Jayid. Allahumma sta'an. Jayid. He has to provide for his family. Support his parents, his sisters. He has to support them. Jayid. If, for example, something happens to that sister and she was divorced, husband passed away, she's not married, he is morally and legally liable to look after her, look after the parents. His kids want to get married, he needs to support them in that. He has to marry them off. In short, the guy looks after others, whereas the girl, she is looked after. Yes or no? The guy has to look after others, Jayid, and the girl is looked after. Walhamdulillah. Don't tell me, but oh, I know, but this one brother, you know, he doesn't look after anyone, and you know, his sister looks after the entire family. We're not talking about those exceptional cases where people are not following the law. We don't change the law due to certain individuals who are not following the law. Excellent. Jayid, so in short, he has these greater responsibilities, and that's why you have that 2-to-1 ratio, alhamdulillah. An example before Islam, before the laws of inheritance. Somebody died and they left behind a daughter, a full sister, and the father's two brothers. What would happen? You tell me. The guy passed away. He left behind a 6-month-old daughter. He left behind a full sister and two of his father's brothers, two of his uncles. His wife had already passed away before him or during childbirth or whatever. So there's a 6-month-old daughter, his full sister, and two of his father's uncles. That's all. What do you think would happen with the inheritance? Who would take it? What would they do? Pre-Islam. Only one man answering questions here. Yalla ya mashayikh. I mean, I didn't want to bother you guys and tell you guys, come closer. I know, you know, you guys are keeping guard there, mashallah. Jayid. But yalla. But if you're not going to talk, then we're going to have to call you forward. Jayid. Somebody passed away, left behind a 6-year-old daughter, his full sister, and his father's two uncles. His two uncles, rather. Father's two brothers. What would happen in the old days? Father Dukur Ismail? The two uncles will come there. What is this 6-year-old baby? Hey, what you bury her alive? Jayid? You know, what do you mean share here? What are you talking? Mafi share. And as for this man's sister, what would do you fight in battle? Do you go out in battle? Do you defend the tribe? Do you go out onto the fields, etc.? Are you part and parcel of the parliament that we have? Do you have any say in any decision making, etc.? Please just go into your tent and remain there before we do something to you. Yes or no? That's how it would be. Subhanallah. Come the revelation upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that same scenario. 6-month-old daughter, full sister, and 2 uncles. What's the Islamic law of distribution with regards to that? That 6-month-old daughter will get half the estate. Will get half the estate of the father. And then, that full sister who's closer to the deceased will get the rest. And the father's 2 uncles, ma fi shay. They do not get anything. Subhanallah. Imagine how groundbreaking this must have been during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, shocking. I mean, some of them might say this is madness, this is craziness, etc., etc. You know, in many countries around the world, females only got the right of inheritance maybe about 40, 50, 60 years ago. You know, unfortunately, with many Muslims in the Indian subcontinent and other places, father passes away and he's got 4 sons and he's got 3 daughters. The 4 sons, they take away the properties and they do not give their sisters anything. Up till today in Islam. So how much worse it was in the days of Kufr. Are you with us? In Islam there are some, and there are more than some, there are many, who oppress their sisters and they do not give them their share. No, no, you got married, your husband will provide for you, etc., etc. There's no need for you any share here, etc., etc. And so subhanAllah, if in Islam they are still oppressing, how much more oppression there must have been in the days of Kufr. And how dramatically, you know, mind-changing it must have been when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come with this revelation where these females got that share. Jayyid. That was point number 3. Point number 4, the verses of inheritance. Any hafiz of Quran here? One, doctor, which is one of the most confusing verses in the Quran. Any, you know, madrasa, hifz competition, they must ask the student this question. Fadal? Huh? Can't remember. Doctor? Verse, ayah. In the Quran, any hifz student, he's a hafiz of Quran, you want to test him on his hifz. Alright? In the exam, you know, this question has to be there. What's it? What's the verse? How does it begin? Anyone? Any sister? No? Excellent. Who's talking? Excellent, doctor. Yusikum Allah. Excellent. Yusikum Allahu fi awladikum lidhakari mithlu hazil unthayn fa in kunna nisa'an fawqa ithnatayn. In English, it's confusing. Jayid, even in English, if you read it. For example, يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ فَإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكَ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ فَلِأُمِّهِ ثُلُثٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Jayid. And the verses which come after it too. Listen in English. Jayid. It's confusing. Allah enjoins upon you concerning your children. The male shall have the equal of the portion of 2 females. MashaAllah, easy, that's fine, no problem. I'm with you. Excellent, let's see. Then if there are more than 2 females, they shall have 2/3 of what the deceased has left. And if there is 1, then she shall have half. As for the parents, each of them shall have 1/6 of what has been left if there is a child. But if there's no child and only the 2 parents inherit him, then the mother shall have 1/3. But if he has brothers, then the mother shall have 1/6. After the payment of the bequest has been bequeathed or a debt has been sorted, your parents and your children, you do not know which of them is nearer to you in usefulness. And this is an ordinance from Allah. Surely Allah is knowing and all wise. Jayid. Now, you take those 3-4 verses, mashallah, of inheritance and think whether you will be able to extract the rules and regulations from it. Difficult, Jayid? Difficult. But the scholars, that's why obviously you need the scholars to take all of this here and make it easy, alhamdulillah. That was point number 4. Point number 5 is a principle with regards to inheritance. A principle. When we are working out inheritance, the first thing we do is, when we are working out what? I didn't say when we are working out the estate of the individual. I didn't say when we are sorting out the estate of the individual. I said when we are working out inheritance. Inheritance is much, much lower on the level of matters. The estate is much wider, because you need to sort out the man's debts. You need to sort out the man's wasiyah, if he had a wasiyah. Maybe he owes Allah a hajj. Maybe he owes zakah. Maybe he owes all of this here. Debts to mankind, debts to Allah, sort all of that out first. Later on, when we finish up all of that, then we come to inheritance. Now we're talking about the inheritance part. When we're working out inheritance, the first thing we do is sort out the fixed heirs, the fixed shares. Try it. Fixed shares. So there's a half, some people get half, some people get a quarter, some people get 1/8, some people get 1/3, some individuals get 1/6, some people get 2/3. There are six of these portions, six of these fractions. When we are working out inheritance, the first thing we do is sort out those fixed amounts. When we sorted out the fixed amounts, if there's any left over, if there's any residual, then this goes to the closest male relative. Goes to who? Closest male relative. Example. After you sorted out all of those people, then you have a father and you have a grandfather. Who's the closest male relative to you? The father. So he will get the rest. After you sorted out the fixed shares, you have a great-great-grandson and you have a grandson. Who's closer to you? The grandson is closer to you, and so he will get the rest. Jaid. If there's no leftover, there will be no residual. Alhamdulillah, excellent. Jaid, that was point number 5. Excellent. Point number 6, inshaAllah. Ajib, how many talks have you heard about inheritance? Huh?
1-0.
Jaid. That's why we're going to charge you after this talk. Right? No, it's 5%. Excellent. Khair ya mashaykh. Ajib, at the end? No?
The question about the point you just mentioned.
Why
wouldn't there be any leftover if you divide those fractions?
We'll give some examples. Right? Because, for example, someone might get a sixth, there might be somebody else who gets a sixth, and then there's the leftover. This person does not have that number of individuals around. Jayid. And so there will be a leftover. Jayid. You mentioned that not many talks, etc., with regards to inheritance. Inshallah, this weekend is the Al-Kawthar course taking place at the University of Western Sydney, inshallah. Jayid. Saturday, everything dealing with janazah, the final rites. Doctor, make sure there's some posters or pamphlets here. Jayid. The Saturday, everything to do with janazah, from the time a person falls ill up to the time that we bury them, we visit the graveyard, etc. Ghusl demonstration, shrouding demonstration. What in reality is death? Somebody is brainstem dead. He's being kept alive with the ventilator in the hospital, heart's pumping, and his blood's flowing. Is he alive or is he dead? What about euthanasia, etc., etc.? So all of these matters pertain to janazah on the Saturday. And on the Sunday, a full day course on inheritance. And I guarantee the students who attend that you will be able to work out the following scenario with 60 to 70% concentration. Somebody passed away. Left behind 3 wives. 1 ex-wife. Unfortunately, he had a girlfriend too. Jayid, Allahumma sta'an. He left behind 3 sons, 4 daughters, 1 stepson, and 1 illegitimate daughter. Unfortunately, Jayid, illegitimate daughter. He also left behind 3 full brothers, 4 paternal brothers, and 7 maternal sisters. A father, grandfather, great grandfather, and grandmother on both sides. And lastly, he left behind his pet cat, right? His pet cat, inshallah. Work out the inheritance with regards to this individual. 60 to 70% concentration. I guarantee you, you'll be able to work out that, walhamdulillah, without difficulty, biiznillahi ta'ala. Why talking about this? Because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although the ahadith have weakness in them, he said that تعلموا الفرائد. Study inheritance. وعلموها and teach it. فإنه نصف العلم. For verily it's half of knowledge. How come it's half of knowledge? Inheritance in any book is just a few chapters in comparison to salah and zakah and siyam, etc. How come you saying, Ya Rasulullah, it's half of knowledge? Well, maybe because one half of knowledge is dealing with while you're alive, and the other half is matters after death. Are you with us? Half from that angle. Excellent. He says that, وَهُوَ يُنْسَى, and it will be forgotten. It will be forgotten. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ يُنْتَزَعُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, and it will be the first piece of knowledge to be taken away from my ummah. The reality is that it is true. Very few of us know anything about inheritance. And the irony is, none of us want to be done down with regards to inheritance. Yes or no? Huh? Don't make a mistake with my inheritance. You put 10 less. Add 10 extra, no problem. But don't put 10 less. Nobody wants to be done down. But then inheritance knowledge is in the hands of very, very few, subhanAllah. Many of mashayikh and students of knowledge too, you ask, Molana, you know, I got this inheritance, you know, inheritance, phone this number here, you know, they'll help you out and they'll give you a fatwa or something. He shies away because it's dealing with numbers and maths and this and that. And you know, the man gets confused in all of these matters, subhanAllah. As the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, first body of knowledge to be taken away from this ummah. So by us even sitting here and talking about inheritance, in reality we are keeping this knowledge alive. Walhamdulillah. For example, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, تَعَلَّمُوا الْفَرَائِدْ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ. Study inheritance, for it's part of your deen. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يُحْسِنَ الْفَرَائِدْ كَالْيَدِينَ بِلَا رَأْسِ. The one who studies the Qur'an and he does not know inheritance is like the head without, it's like كَالْيَدَيْنَ بِلَا رَأْسِ. It's like two hands without a head. Important, subhanAllah. Excellent. That was point number six with regards to the importance of inheritance. From the verses of the Noble Qur'an, from the Ahadith, etc., that has its place. And also the fact that it's dealing with money, which we all love. Jaid, as one brother he said, you know, there's nothing like inheritance to at least ease the difficulty of losing that loved one. Jaid, Allah understand. Yeah, true, Jaid. If somebody passes away, a week gone, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you saw that brother, you know, he was completely devastated. That girl, husband passed away, completely devastated. 8 months later, she's got a proposal and you heard she's getting married. Life moves on, right? Life goes on. Excellent. Number seven, what are the pillars of inheritance? What do we need? What must happen? You know, what do we need? What are the ingredients for any inheritance to take place? Three ingredients.
Calculator.
You need a calculator. What if there's no money? What do you want to calculate?
Debts.
What needs to happen for inheritance to take place? Somebody has to die. Excellent, Ukhti Jade. Somebody has to die. Jade, well, Allah grant me inheritance. Ya Allah grant me lots of inheritance. Jade means somebody has to die. Jade, when the doctor says, Ya Allah grant me increase in risk, Ya Allah this year, Ya Allah make it, you know, grant in barakah. What it means? It means people need to start getting sick. Yes or no? More individuals must get sick. Khair, inshallah, Allah mustan. Same with the tow truck driver and you know, the accident guy and all of this. Yeah, Allah mustan. Yalla. So somebody has to pass away. So we have to have a deceased. What else do we need to have? We need to have money. There has to be money, right? Somebody died on top, right? And there was no money. So there's not going to be any inheritance. So somebody has to die on top. He needs to have some property, be it money, be it whatever. He has to have some sort of estate. And then what else do we need? Third ingredient? You need heirs. You need somebody there to catch it. Right? You say that you need to have a will, etc. Guys living in Nigeria, a small village, he dies and your great-great-grandfather, he probably never had a will or anything like that. Right? So will is not an incumbent ingredient when it comes to this matter. But we require وَوَارِثٌ مُوَرِّثٌ مَوْرُوثُ أَرْكَانُهُ مَا دُونَهَا تَوْرِيثُ. We require somebody on the top who dies. We require the estate to start falling down. And we require somebody at the bottom to catch it. These are the three ingredients for inheritance. And why will you inherit? That was point number seven. Point number eight. Reasons for inheriting. Reasons why you will inherit. So what's your name, Sheikh? Muhyiddin, Dr. Muhyiddin. Dr. Muhyiddin, you were here for Maghrib, isn't it? And I was the Imam for Maghrib, Jayid. So that means, Sheikh Muhyiddin, when you pass away, I will inherit from you. Why? Because at GIYC, I was the Imam for Salatul Maghrib, and you prayed behind me. So if you die, I will inherit. Yes or no? Yes. Huh? So being the Imam at GIYC is one of the reasons for inheriting. I'm sure the Mashaykh must be jumping over each other to be Imam here. Huh? Because if you are Imam here, then you will inherit from these people. Is that one of the reasons for inheriting? If I lead the Salah and people pray behind me, when they die, I will inherit. So the people who pray behind Sheikh Sudais, when they die, he will inherit. So being the Imam, is that a reason for inheriting? No, it's not a reason for inheriting. Excellent. So you need to have blood ties. You need to have blood ties. So for example, mashallah, we went for Hajj together. Myself and Brother Salim, we went for Hajj together. And we did our Umrah together. And all of this here. So when he passes away, am I going to inherit from him? No, I'm not going to inherit from him. We're in the same plane together. Stayed in the same hotel. In fact, we took the cheap package. We were all in the same room. Jayid, does it mean we're going to inherit from each other? We're not going to inherit from each other. You need to have blood ties, Jayid. And number two, myself and yourself, we both have Australian passports. Or let's add the South Africans, we are part of the Commonwealth. So that means when you die, I will inherit. No. We are all Aussies. What's the second one? Marriage. Jayid. Second one is marriage. Jayid. Second one is marriage. So through marriage, you know, there is that inheritance which will take place. And the third one is slavery. Don't worry too much about that. Just a side benefit. The slavery one is, let's say, you know, you had a slave and you set the slave free. Then the slave went along and he became a millionaire or whatever. You know, he got rich. And then he didn't get married. He's got no relatives at all in the world. Nobody at all. No children, no parents, no uncle, no grandfather, no fifth uncle, nothing at all. So here, because you were the master and you set him free, it's as if you like you gave life to him. It's as if you gave life to him. You set him free. You gave him his freedom. So because he has nobody else, then you will inherit from him. Are you with us? Excellent. Minority, super minority amount of scholars, they have taken that and they've extended it to somebody who invites another to Islam. So if you brought somebody to Islam, you know, this brother gave the shahada at your hands. You were the means for him to become a Muslim. You told him about Islam and convinced him, and he eventually became Muslim. And if he had money and he had absolutely no family in the world, completely nothing at all, nobody to inherit from him, then some super minority amount of scholars say that you will inherit from him. Why? He said because giving freedom to the slave is less in comparison to bringing somebody to Islam. You brought the light of Islam to him. That's a greater form of like giving him life. Are you with us? So there's benefits in dawah, mashallah. Excellent. Some financial benefits. Excellent. Khair. Jayyid. So we have marriage and we have the matter of blood ties. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. We need to obviously make sure that the man above has died. Yes or no? We need to make sure that the person above has died. Jayyid. So for example, maybe in certain places around the world today, Afghanistan, somebody's in Afghanistan and the father went to the masjid for Fajr Salah and after that he hasn't come back. You know, it's been 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, hasn't come back, etc. Alright, can we now start distributing the estate and suppose that he's most likely passed away, etc. I mean, he might have gone after his camel or something, his horse, donkey went somewhere and he's gone for a small holiday. 500 years ago, your husband went for Salatul Fajr. After that, there was a quick lecture about seeking knowledge. Then as soon as Salatul Fajr was over, he jumped on his horse and he said, Yalla, I'm going to Baghdad, you know, to study a hadith, etc., etc. He never came home and made salam and bye-bye. He just went straight. I mean, common. The guy went on business and it took him 2 years in Makkah. He lived there, even got married, had kids there, etc. And then he came back to Bosnia, you know, after his long trip on business, right? So we cannot suppose, you know, when ala kulli hal, it's now 4 hours, 5 hours, 3 days, 7 days, we haven't heard from him. And khalas, let's distribute the estate and the wife can remarry. No, we need to make sure that the man above has died. We need to make sure that this person has passed away. Like for example, this year, you know, when our brothers on that Malaysian flight, the flight went missing and stuff like this. We cannot just next day, khalas, let's distribute the estate and stuff. No, we need to give some time. We need to attain certainty that most likely these people have passed on. The qadi, the judge, has to give his ruling that now these people, we rule that they have passed on. From that ruling, that's when the wife now begins her iddah of 4 months and 10 days, and now the inheritance, janazah, all of this here can apply. Number two, 7 point something or 8 point something. We need to know that that man has died on top there. And we need to make sure that the heir was alive when that person died. Did you get that? Somebody died on top. We need to make sure that you were alive when that person died. You know, some of your family, etc., they haven't worked out the estate of the great-grandfather for the past 20, 30, 50 years, etc. Now they want to sort it out. They need to work out who died first and stuff like this. For example, you had the grandfather, you know, who was the big millionaire here, right? He was this big millionaire, mashallah. And he had one son, he had two sons, and he had three sons. Are you with us? But this one son here died before the grandfather. Each one of them, they are married and they have their own children and stuff like this. But this son here, he died before the father. Did you get that? When he died, his children obviously inherited from him. Yes or no? They got that inheritance. Wasn't that much, but they got whatever they got. Right. Now later on, 10 years later, the grandfather, who is the millionaire, he passes away. Who will inherit from him? These grandkids on this side here now, you see these grandkids, they all come and they say, Nana, what about our share? Dada, what about our share? Papa, our share? The daughter, you know, she says, what about our share? Our father, we are masoom. Our father, he passed away. We didn't get our share, etc., etc. Will they get any share as per inheritance? No, they will not get. Why? Because their father, this father here, he's not even around when the grandfather died. It was only this son and this son who was around when grandfather died. You need to be alive when the man above dies. You died before him. You will not inherit from him. Are you with us? You gone. You already ahead of him, inshallah. You got Jannah early, mashallah. Are you with us, Mashaykh? Jaheed? So, this son here will inherit. This son here will inherit. And these grandkids, etc., they will not. Even logically, who's closer to the deceased? The two sons, the uncles, they are closer to the deceased and they will block out these grandkids. The way out to this is that that grandfather, he can stipulate from his wasiyah, from his one third, but he has to state it in his will or whatever, that I want to leave something for these grandkids of mine here. I want to leave something for them, and so he can stipulate for them because they are not his heirs. They will not inherit from him, and so he can leave something for them up to one third, inshallah. So that man, we need to make sure he dies. We need to make sure that the person at the bottom was alive when the one above passed away. And number three, there has to be a legal relationship between both of them. Illegitimate children cannot come along and say, we want some inheritance here. Born out of wedlock, illegitimate, you don't have a legal relationship with that person. Are you with us? You need to have a legal relationship to inherit from that person. Some rich brother passes away, and 2 days after the janazah, mashallah, this one sister comes knocking on the door, and what's happening, Ukhti? You know, offer my condolences, this and that, and you know, I was also married to brother Ahmed. Mashallah, we didn't even know about it. Jayid, wife is all shocked. Jayid, alright, yeah, you know that Thursday nights when he was, would tell you that he's working till late, he used to be with me. We made nikah and everything, but nobody knew about it. She needs to prove now, because anybody can come. Every rich person, Bill Gates passes away, I'm sure there's going to be 100 women who are going to come and say, you know what, we are his secret wives. You need to prove legal relationship to that person so that you can inherit. And so if this female comes with a nikah certificate, etc., she's got witnesses, then she will get a share of that inheritance. Walhamdulillah. Point number 9, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. You cannot disinherit anyone, but people can disinherit themselves. Example, you say, mashallah, you know, father now is now 83 years old, subhanallah, right? Father is 83. He's sitting on that business, that empire, mashallah, massive business. But he doesn't want his sons to take over. He's still coming to business every day. 84 years old, almost two legs in the grave, but he's still busy with the business. His son is now almost 50, almost maybe 60 years old. He says, when this father's going to go? Jannah, everything, go now, Jayid. Jannah is waiting for you. But the father's not passing away, mashallah. Jayid. So the son here, he says, I'm worried, I might die just now. So he hastens his father's journey towards Jannah. Sends him on a early ticket, Jayid. He takes the life of his father, na'udhu billah. He kills his father, Jayid. If he kills his father, he will not inherit. If you take the life of the one that you are supposed to inherit from, we will punish you and you will not inherit. Jayid. So husband kills the wife for the insurance, he will not inherit. Wife kills the husband for the insurance, and we find out, then they will not inherit. In fact, some scholars even apply this in a case of accidental debt. Even in a case of accidental debt, example, a car accident. Son is driving the car, father sitting next to him. And they meet up with the car accident. Father died, son is supposed to inherit. But some scholars even exclude this accidental debt. Why? Because everybody will claim an accident. Oh, we were just driving by mistake, something happened, I looked there, and next thing father died, and car accident. Are you with us? Everybody will claim, we went hunting, mashallah, I thought there was a baboon, and I shot, and meanwhile it was father, grandfather. Jai, mushkila, accident, jai. So some even include, and they say, you know, you will be excluded even if it was supposedly an accident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And side note for the higher students of knowledge, this is an example of a scenario which is opposite to innamal a'malu bin niyat. Normally innamal a'malu bin niyat, whatever you intend, you get. But here you intended inheritance, but you will not get it. But he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. I killed my father, my intention was inheritance, give me the inheritance. Hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. We say, no brother. Here, we go against إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Why? Because your niyyah was corrupted. Here we have the principle, whoever brings something forward before its appointed time will be punished, in that he will not be able to get what he intended. He will be punished the opposite of his intention. And the other reason that you will not inherit is if you leave the fold of Al-Islam. In fact, we're not going to go into the greater discussion. We'll talk more about it in the course. But the Hanafi, Shafi'is, Malikis and Hanbalis are of the opinion that there is no cross inheritance between Muslim and non-Muslim. The Muslim will not inherit from the non-Muslim, and the non-Muslim will not inherit from the Muslim. Are you with us? So you as a Muslim, your one son, he didn't embrace Islam. His name is Jack. He didn't become a Muslim. He will not inherit from you. But what you can do is you can leave him something from the one third of your wasiyah. You can do that. Your Murtad son, he left the fold of Al-Islam. He will not inherit. Inheritance is that which occurs automatically. Inheritance is what occurs automatically. But that Murtad son, apostate son, you can leave him something from your wasiyah up to one third. Your illegitimate child, that girlfriend, unfortunately, you could leave them something from that one third of that wasiyah. But if you did not stipulate, they didn't get anything, because they wouldn't get a share of inheritance. Inheritance is what occurs automatically. Excellent, ya mashayikh. But what if, for example, there's this guy, he became Muslim from Jacob, he became Yaqub, embraced Islam. After he embraced Islam, his father and mother gave him a heavy time. They abused him, kicked him out of the house. He really went through a tough time. But subhanAllah, after 10-15 years, you know, he was the one who looked after his father. And then his father's heart softened towards Islam. Father didn't embrace Islam. Father did not embrace Islam. Father passed away. This Yaqub comes forward and he asks, my father passed away. I'm a Muslim. My father's not a Muslim. I went through hell after I became a Muslim. Will I inherit from my father? My father wanted me to inherit. The money was there. Three sons and we were all supposed to get our shares and stuff like this. Or do we say to him that there's no inheritance between Muslim and non-Muslim? Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. One might say, someone might say, hey, this is a bit like unfair. We're like penalizing this guy for becoming a Muslim. Are you with us? He became a Muslim, went through a tough time, and now we're saying that, brother, you know, you can't get the million from your father. Someone might say it's a bit unfair. Yes or no? we'll discuss in the course, insha'Allah. It's a long story there. Hayyakum Allah. Excellent. Our last point, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, point number 10, I think it is. Point number 10 is the estate. What is the estate? The estate is everything that the man owned. Or the woman, the child, whoever it might be. Jayid. They had a pin in the pocket, it's part of the estate. Their shoelace, part of the estate. The underwear, part of the estate. Their old sofa, part of the estate. That unused tire that they have in the garage, part of the estate. Everything that they owned forms part and parcel of the estate. Unfortunately, sometimes you find, oh, father was living with son Ahmed, and so the money in the bank we distributed. As for the microwave which father bought, the sofa which father bought, and the watch that father had, and the shirts that father had, Ahmed, he took it and he did with it as he wanted. He took the watch, the shirt, he gave it away, and the sofas, he used it, his children use it, etc., etc. That's wrong. If you got the permission from the other heirs, they said, no problem, you can take it, do it, it's fine, then it's fine. But without consulting with them, because remember, when father died, if there were three sons, and father owned this bottle of water, automatically, one son became the owner of one third. The other son became the owner of one third. And the other son became the owner of one third. Everything that the father owned, his cell phone, was like divided into three shares. And each one of the heirs has their share in it. So the estate, the first thing we do is sort out funeral expenses. The man died, woman died. We sort out their funeral expenses from their own money. If somebody else wants to pay, alhamdulillah, fantastic. But otherwise, generally, we use their own money. But if the son says, I want to sort it out, uncle says, I'll pay for it, no problem. So funeral expenses, we sort out first. After this, we sort out debts. You have debts to mankind and you have debts to Allah. Debts to mankind, your cell phone bill. You owe the bank some money. You owe the municipality, your rates, your loan. Whatever it might be, this money you owe. Unless there was a clause in the contract. In some, for example, especially when it comes to government and stuff like this, if there was a clause that if you pass away, then your family is not liable. If you pass away, you know, we wipe away the debt, then alhamdulillah, fantastic. But otherwise, you borrowed money from Ilyas, Ahmed, Sumayya, whoever, you owe them this money, and this money must be sorted out from the estate and paid up to them. You have debts to Allah. Hajj, zakah, siyam, you made another, if I pass my exam, I'm going to give $10 in charity, whatever it might be. All of these debts which you owe to Allah must also be paid. Only after these debts are sorted out. Then we move on to the third matter, which is the, mashallah, that kid is good, no? Competition here. Jayid, excellent. Jayid, so, mashallah, he heard that? Now he can quiet, mashallah. Excellent. So first thing, we sort out funeral expenses. Number two, we sort out debts. Debts to Allah, debts to mankind. Sort out all debts. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the martyr will be forgiven of all sins except the matter of debt. يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبْ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. He will be prevented from entering paradise due to the money that he owes people. SubhanAllah. Debt is a heavy matter. Debt equals death, as is said. Jayid. It is worry during the day, and it's hum and gham and stress during the night. Allahu musta'an. So you sorted out funeral expenses, you sorted out debts to Allah, debts to mankind. Then if this person had a wasiyah, I want to give Bilal Ismail one third of my estate, or anything less than one third, $5,000, $10,000, $1,000, whatever, I want to give GIYC, I make a donation, etc. After I die, this money must go to GIYC. Or any individual, be it Muslim, be it non-Muslim, be it the RSPCA, be it to look after the gardens or whatever it might be, as long as it's halal, as long as it's allowed, no problem at all. So if this person stipulated a wasiyah, then this money will go there. Two conditions with regards to the wasiyah. First condition is, it must be for a non-heir. It must be for a non-heir. It cannot be for your heirs. The wasiyah cannot be for your heirs. Example, Salim has three sons and one daughter. He cannot write in his will there, you know, my wasiyah is that when I die, my son must get this, and my daughter must get that, and my other son must get this, and my other son must get that. No! You cannot make out a wasiyah for your heirs. They will get what the Quran stipulated for them, not what you want to give them. You can make something specific for an outside party, but you cannot make something specific for the people who will automatically inherit from you. In our case, the scenario with the great grandfather, the rich grandfather, and he had two sons, and then he had his grandchildren. His grandchildren will not inherit from him because they were going to be blocked out by the two uncles. So he could have stipulated something specific for those grandchildren. Are you with us? So there he could have made a wasiyah for them. For example, you got three wives and a Christian wife. So Samantha will not automatically inherit when you die. You need to stipulate in your will there from your wasiyah something for her. If you stipulate, then she'll get. If you didn't stipulate, she will not get anything. And the irony is, if you stipulated something for your Christian wife Samantha, she can get more than your Muslim wives. Why? Because that wasiyah part goes up to a maximum of 1/3. Whereas your Muslim wives will get 1/8 if you had children, and they'll get 1/4 if there were no children involved. But this Christian wife could get more, could even get up to 1/3, and Allah knows best. So the two conditions with regards to the wasiyah: number one, it must be for a non-heir, and number two, it's only up to 1/3 and not more than 1/3. So I cannot say in my will that I want all my money to go to GIYC. No, GIYC will only get 1/3. The other 2/3 will go to my heirs and those who will inherit from me. Alhamdulillah. So those are the two conditions with regards to the wasiyah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's obviously a lot more, but we will suffice ourselves with those 10 points. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. I really encourage you, brothers and sisters, to attend the course, the final rites this weekend. Even if you only attend the Saturday for the janazah, alhamdulillah. Even if you're only able to attend the Sunday for the inheritance, you don't need the janazah part for the inheritance. You don't need the inheritance part for the janazah. You could even just come for one day and it will be recorded. I do not know of many, especially inheritance courses out there in the English language. And so make the best of it. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Hayyakum Allah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam. Mubarak ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there's maybe one or two questions, Jade, we'll take one or two questions, inshallah.
Is it parents or the person who has passed away responsible, has to do that inheritance before he dies?
Well, if he stipulated in his will, the executor of my will is so-and-so, Imam so-and-so, or my uncle so-and-so, whoever, or the lawyer, whoever you stipulated as the executor, he's the one who will, sort it out. I mean, if you've got no executor or something, then your close family members, their responsibility to see to it.
If he didn't do it, and the children started fighting, so should he be responsible?
If, for example, he had, knowledge, or he felt that there's going to be fighting, then he's responsible. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maybe a person does 60 years of good deeds, then he writes out a haram will, because he wants to rule from the grave. He wants to rule from the grave. It's like him throwing away all of that good. And so if you know your kids are going to fight, etc., then you need to, your responsibility to make sure that you put in the checks and the balances so this wouldn't happen. Try it? No. So for example, in most Western countries, you have to have a will sorted out. Why? Because if you don't have a will in South Africa and many other places, then automatically your estate will be distributed as per the law of the country, and it will be distributed interstate, etc. And that's not, according to the laws of Islam. So you have to have a will, and there's provision within the laws of the country. For example, in Australia, you have a fantastic organization in Melbourne called Wasiyah. Wasiyah. Right? Google it up, Wasiyah. Some Al-Kawthar students, this one brother, he's a lawyer, so they put this up together. If you visit the website Wasiyah, you put in all of your details, and you will get out of it, I think it's only about $10 or something like this, you will get out a custom-made will for yourself with all of your details and everything in it. And it is in line with the laws of Australia, and it will be distributed Islamically. Alhamdulillah. So you have to do it. Somebody in Saudi Arabia, he doesn't really need to have a will. Why? Because when he dies, it will be distributed Islamically. But somebody in South Africa has to have a will so that it will be distributed Islamically. Yalla.
What happens if a person or family rejects the Sharia?
What can be done? What can be done? Take them to court? Can we take them to court? Take them to a non-Sharia court? Because they're not abiding by the Sharia? Allah mustan. Jayid, and you know how many cases there are. No, Sharia khair, barakah, inshallah, But father told me, he told me on his deathbed, I heard, he said that, you know what? You Bilal, you, I want to give you half of the estate. You are my favorite son, you get half the estate. That would be invalid. Even if father said it, even if father wrote it down, even if he wrote it in stone, I will not get. Why? Tell me why. Because I'm an heir of the father, and the father cannot make any specific stipulation for me. I'm an heir. I will get what the Quran set out, a portion, not a specific amount. Father, and you know many grannies, they like to do this. Oh, my daughters and my granddaughters, etc. You see this gold ring here? When I die, Sumayya must take this. You see this bangle here? Saliha, when I pass away, this is for you. Nani, can I take it now? Daddy, can I take it now? No. I'll keep it for you in the safe. When I die, then it is yours. Alright? As for you, Ahmed, this for your wife, this chain here, this is for her, etc., etc. All of that invalid. Invalid. The granny showed it to you, you touched it, granny then took it back. That's all granny's. It belongs to granny. If granny wants you to take it, granny must part with it. You must become the real owner of it. If you are the real owner of it, then it's yours. That means you are liable if there's zakah, etc., etc. You are liable with regards to that. Jayid? But if granny says, when I die, then it's yours, then it can't work. Because when granny closes her eyes, then it forms part and parcel of granny's estate. And then it will be distributed as per the laws of inheritance. If granny did it while she was alive, then no problem. Granny said, here, Ahmed, the cell phone is yours. Ahmed took it, Ahmed owns it, Ahmed gone with it. Now it's Ahmed's, walhamdulillah. If Ahmed said, granny, you know what? I don't have a safe, and I want you to keep it in your safe. Keep it here, that's fine also. But the point is, ownership has transferred to Ahmed. But when granny says, when I die, you will become the owner. No. Granny, you are going, but granny wants to go, but she doesn't want to part. Granny, mashallah, they know the power play. Jay, well, why does the granny do that? Because she knows now, you know, now for the next 3 years that I still got, you need to be good to me. Why? Because that diamond is kept in the cupboard there. If granny gives it to you, and then you don't visit her on Eid, or you didn't do this, and she called you 3 times and you didn't come, but you should have gone, obviously. I gave you diamond and I gave you this, and you still don't come. Allahu musta'an. What does all of this come back to? وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you will love wealth, a great love for wealth. Allahu musta'an. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.